is the BBC Home Search. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
Mmm. Oh, golly, that's tasty.
Thanks, Dot. Heavens to Betsy, Myrtle, that's simply exquisite. Simply, utterly. Do you mind back there, Peg? Thank you, Peg.
I can feel its tonsils. Look, it's a label up to her elbow.
Yes, Mummy's watching. Well done.
I don't think, since I joined the Cabinet War Rooms, I've ever enjoyed a piece of meat as delectable as that.
It's good to know that even in the fierce hell of total war, we can still scrape together a little home comfort.
And veal.
Perfectly yammeroo. I must admit, when Mrs. Vermin Cake, the head cook, fell ill with influenza, I was sad. Then a little peckish. Then when Millicent too fell ill, I was gently amused, but still peckish. Then cold.
Quick!
But that was just a draught from an unclosed door.
Myrtle!
So I felt vindicated.
I've got incontinent in a stationery cupboard!
But when we were asked to take over the Cabinet War Kitchens, Myrtle, I was aghast.
Myrtle!
Use a cricket bat and don't stop whacking till your arms are sore.
But then I discovered the perks, Myrtle.
Yes, Dotty, I've been here with you the whole...
And I felt less hungry and more settled. And that is my morning thus far.
Where were you, Myrtle? It was coming out the walls. It was coming out the goddamn walls.
Yes, what is all this brouhaha?
You remember that giant rat we chased out of the kitchens this morning?
Of course, it nearly took my arm off.
We managed to get him cornered in the stationery cupboard, but now I think it's building a hive.
Well, whatever you're going to do, do it fast. It's about that time of the morning when Air Marshal Peabody screams himself awake, shouting about the colonies. So keep it secret.
Come on, Myrtle. And remember, short, controlled... bursts.
This time it's personnel.
Good morning, you've reached personnel. Oh, yes, I get it now, Myrtle. And this week at least, head of kitchens.
Great Scott. The drums, the horrible, endless drumming, war paint, the primitive weaponry.
Another colonial dream, Air Marshal Peabody? Out of curiosity, did you dial before waking, sir?
Yes, I presume I must have. What a dream! Something came from the jungle, and damnable nincompoop as I am, I left the front door of the embassy open, and this hulking, hairy vermin crept in, scared all the ladies, and I had to chase it in my undercrackers, waving a Union flag dishcloth.
Well, it's easy to be stupid after the event, sir.
I woke up, sheathed in a cold sweat, and... yes, on the phone to you. Listen,
Dotty, sir.
Woman, answer the phone, yes. I want you here in the time it would take to play a bar or two of a contemporary violin classic.
Yes, sir.
I have a little job for you.
And arm!
You wanted to see me, sir?
You bet your hapless arse I did.
Otty!
Woman who answered phone. Have you ever heard of a chap by the name of Abraham A. Abrahams?
No.
Junior?
No.
The third?
Still no, sir.
Pity.
An American, sir?
You have heard of him.
A stab in the dark, sir.
Mr. Abrahams of the US of A is presently in the UK of K. Pioneer, politician, self-made man, born in the Dust Bowl, went to the School of Hard Knocks, attended the College of Severe Body Blows, and received a doctorate from the University of Having a Door Slammed in Your Face. Abrahams is presently on a hunting trip in Balmoral, but en route back to the land of the free, he'll be stopping here for a slap-up supper with yours truly.
Sir.
And since you're now acting head of the War Room's kitchens, you'll know there's an exquisite cut of meat in the refrigeration apparati.
Bollocks.
Not this time, Dotty. This time, we've managed to circumnavigate certain rationing restrictions and procured a cut of finest veal from the most doe-eyed and heart-breakingly nascent of the King's royal calves.
Oh, hell.
We'll wine him, dine him, and he'll go back to the US of A with only love for dear old England and the U of K. And with Abrahams on our side, America will join the war by the morrow. You see if they don't.
Know his meat well, does he, sir?
Let me make this abundantly and gratuitously clear. Yes.
Very good, sir. May I be excused, sir? It'll be in all our interest to have our cook wash her hands. And since that will be Myrtle, I ought to ask her to start now. When will he be arriving, sir?
We dine at midnight tonight.
Cutting it fine, but I'll ask her to use bleach and a wire brush. Thank you, sir.
Gniffips.
If you have an object vital to win a global war and save the lives of millions of men, you'd at least put your name on it, wouldn't you? I mean, you label your sandwiches, Myrtle, and they're usually only a drawing. What are you doing under the desk?
Right, what happened was...
No, too depressing. Peg?
But that situation escalated, Dottie. What vital object?
The veal, Peg. The veal Myrtle cooked was intended for Abraham A. Abrahams Jr. III. Now we've got till midnight, Peggy, to scratch whatever backs we can to get some tempting meat.
I don't think Mr. Abrahams will be tempted by someone's dislodged back meat, Dottie.
Shut up, Peg. Myrtle! You must know someone. You must know some kind of nudging, winking, finger-crossing, moustache-tweaking, underhand spiv with connections to the black market.
I have no truck with malefactors and Bolsheviks. We may all be in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the staff.
Stars?
Starch.
No, it's not a game, Myrtle.
What do you mean you have no truck with malefactors and Bolsheviks, Myrtle? What about your Uncle Cain?
What about him?
Well, he's a racketeer of phenomenal East End influence, Myrtle. Subverting the dominance of capital in the hopes for a complete financial collapse of the state and a proletariat uprising.
He's not a socialist, he's an anarcho-syndicalist, and he's currently in prison for doing some illegals.
Well, we'll release him.
Oh, if we could release Uncle Ken, the whole International Anarchist Workers Association would be so chuffed.
Remember, Myrtle, we don't need any old Tommy Ethical or Lieutenant Jimmy Law Abider knowing about today's little escapade, do we?
No, boss. On my way. I'll bid you much adieu.
Peg, turning to you now, and the problem I've craftily codenamed Rat Degu.
Sewer rat.
Which is French for sewer rat. Yes, well, aren't we insistently clever?
Well, one certainly won't turn down the accolade if it's being flung around. But I've actually come to... Good God! What's that?
Sir?
In the stationery cupboard. My Lord, it's the monster from my dream. There! Making a crude, slitting gesture against its throat.
A trick of the light, sir.
Well, you'd better hope it is, woman who answered phone, because if it's not resolved by Abraham's arrival tonight, I'm evacuating the war rooms of all personnel and leaving you and this monster to fight a personal gladiatorial grudge match between yourselves.
But I could die.
In which sorry but inescapable event, the vermin from my dream will become head of personnel.
But she's only got a threadbare understanding of how the filing system works.
Exactly. Midnight tonight.
Ta-da!
No, I don't see it. Usually ta-da accompanies some kind of impressive entrance or reveal, yet.
Rat outfit.
Sticking someone's old stockings out of the back of your skirt doesn't constitute either a tale or a grounded reason for ta-da-ing.
Rat in the ears.
Let's see.
Draw my beret. Oh, wait, they must have folded down. Ta-da!
Cigarette packets.
You seem underwhelmed, Dottie. The ears and tail are only props to support my transition into rat suitor.
What was your plan? Take it out of the pictures, dazzle it with popcorn and promises, and whisk it away for an intimate weekend in the Cotswolds?
I wouldn't go all the way.
Of course.
Somewhere near Beaconsfield, I'd whap it on the head with this.
Is it a mallet?
It's a mallet, yes.
If the rat Degu was given to falling in love with something approximating another rat, there would have been church bells and moonbeams the moment she saw Myrtle. Have you any defensible suggestions for ending this monofestation?
Defensible? No.
Then I suggest you dispose of the crumpled fag packets and singular grey stocking and rethink your tactics.
Permission to gulp audibly, Dottie?
You may gulp in your free time, not office hours. Meanwhile, let's pray Myrtle's had better luck with her veal chop than you've had with your Cupid stunt.
Ta-da! I'm back, Dottie! Have you done something to your hair, Peg?
They're meant to be rat ears.
Oh, someone's off somewhere nice.
Myrtle, did you manage to secure the produce?
That's why I did a ta-da! It's in the sack. Ta-da!
Right. I see. What part of veal chop didn't you understand, Myrtle?
I understood it, Dottie.
And yet?
and yet feel as ubiquitous on the anarcho-syndicate revolutionary black market as lambs are in a field Uncle Ken and me passed on our way back from prison.
Oh, hell, superfluous third nipple, Myrtle. You're making this simple problem into a circus of incompetence.
Ta-da!
No, Myrtle, no, no ta-da. You're to take this adorable Beatrix pottery and lamb out into the kitchen and slaughter it this instant.
No fear, Ginger Beer. I can't do that to one of God's living creatures.
Peg?
Vegetarian, Dotty.
You don't have to kill it with your mouth, Peg.
I thought you wanted me to kill the rat. Now I'm being cajoled into abruptly ending the tale of Lammy Fluffnickel.
Don't name him.
I can't help it. I've already got the first three chapters mapped out in my head.
Right. Pass me that, Peg.
The mallet?
The mallet.
Where are you taking him?
Somewhere I should have taken Lammy Fluffnickel a long, long time ago. Stand aside, girls. If you want something done properly, do it yourself.
See, what you need, right, is a hammer or similarly blunt weapon.
A mallet. Back in the back.
Mallet. Just the thing, love. And you take the hammer or mallet to the little buggers, well, driving the blunt end to and through, ideally, right, straight through to the inner ear and brain area.
His head.
Shh. Right so, darling. And sort of gently stave the little sod's brains
you
in.
You mean stave his head in with a mallet?
Oh, a university girl.
One's fully aware of the theory, Myrtle's Uncle Ken.
Uncle Ken's fine.
I prefer Myrtle's Uncle Ken. It establishes you effectively and clearly as Myrtle's uncle, and not a blood relative of my own.
Comrade Ken, then.
I'm middle class.
Ken.
Ugh. The real stinker, Myrtle's Uncle Ken, is that I'm fully aware of the process by which one staves in the head of a lamb. One is aware of the process, yet one can't actually, in heat of the moment, actually quite, at the end of the day, do the do. The honest-to-goodness staving it.
Gotcha.
So, as part of the famous blitz spirit we're all enjoying, camaraderie, neighbourliness, you know, keep calm and carry on, which personally one abhors.
Oh, God, so do I.
The first several times was gently amusing and symbolised a certain moment in Englishness. Then suddenly it was everywhere.
Everywhere.
And now people who know nothing about his origins are doing wry little takes on the original.
Keep calm and be yourself.
Keep calm and sparkle, or be different, or...
Keep calm and hug your dog.
Quite. Utterly nauseating.
It's like when someone said, shut the far cupboard, for the first time.
Gently amused.
Abso-bloody-lutely.
Would you mind staving in the lamb's head for me?
Well, Enemir, barkeep, you got a hammer out back.
No, no, no. We decided we couldn't kill the little lammy Fluffnickel. And we'd much prefer you killed a lamb we've not, as it were, met. In fact, you can keep Master Fluffnickel as part of the trade.
I can do you a cat.
Cat?
Well, lambs is pretty scarce in Putney Elgill. Cats, though.
Do you always carry a live cat on your person?
Well, less so when I get peckish.
That's not very British.
Oh, you have got a very romanticised view of wartime London, Myrtle's boss, Dotty. You can have this cat, but he'll cost you.
And you'll do the do.
Even gift wrapping for you.
And one can eat puss cat, can one?
People are fishing them out of the canals every day.
Very good.
Don't look down your nose at us, lady. The London proletariat is an honourable people. We have just been demonised by lazy bourgeois writers whose agenda is more about ego-driven self-promotion as opposed to doing the hard graft research necessary to paint the working man and woman as the decent, hard-working... Anyone doing illegals? Rah!
That's all of us, then.
Keep calm and drunk to the hill!
Ken? Myrtle's Uncle Ken? Comrade? Oh, bums. Hell.
Oh, what we call him?
No, Myrtle, no. We're not calling him anything. We're not putting out a saucer of milk for him.
Oh.
We're not buying him an irresistible bow tie with milk bottles on it.
Oh.
Stupid, he wants a girlfriend.
And we're certainly not, Peg, wittingly turning this office into a two-of-every-kind biblical farce-cum-bordello. Mr. Abrahams will be sitting down to eat a veal chop with Air Marshal Peabody. A veal chop I've already eaten. We can't afford to waste a second.
Yes, I've thought of something.
All ears, Peg.
My mother once told me about a friend of hers, a spinster type, I forget her name, who lived in a farmstead on the outskirts of town. Somehow, she'd ingested a bug or a wasp or a fly or something, and she could feel it inside her.
Why'd she do that?
I don't know why. Anyway, she was afraid she would die. So, and there's a kind of uncanny logic here, if you pay attention, what she did was find a spider, right? And swallowed the spider so
the spider would eat the fly.
Precisely.
It's clever.
But instead, she could feel the spider
wiggle, jiggle and tiggle inside her.
You know her?
Not personally, no. Did this same old woman go on to swallow a bird, cat, dog, cow and horse?
That's her. Then died.
Of course. So, to summarise, Peg's grip on reality, not to mention her job, now hangs by a thread. And instead of finding a replacement for veal, we've installed a small and uniquely depressing petting zoo in our office. Thoughts and feedback welcome.
Oh, me!
Generous as you are, Myrtle, I don't believe anyone's prepared to eat you.
No. You know how quite often, not infrequently, right, we get into a spot of bother, right?
Right.
And then just at the last moment, right at the 11th hour, something good pops up and we're like, phew, lucky that thing popped up and now we're not dead in that.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we sit here, yeah, in the office, yeah, and sit here, yeah?
Yes.
Until the 11th hour, 11 p.m.
Oh.
And just do what happens then. When something pops up, we do that.
She's got a point, Dotty. If we have patience and faith in each other and are mindful of the possibilities offered us, then together, as a unit, as a family, we can... Oh, that's me.
Where are you going?
Home.
What? Why?
Well, it's 10 o'clock, Dotty.
But there's a war on.
I've got a friend popping round.
But there's a war on.
Yes, but this is really only you and Myrtle talking about meat, isn't it? Sadly genre-defying tales of daring do.
But sight travels, Peg.
Nightmare. I've never liked her.
Right. So that killed a couple of mins. Now only another 58 to go.
If you think for one second that I'm dull-witted enough to just sit here and wait for something to happen...
Yeah?
Then... Well, then...
I'll put the kettle on. 7, 6, 5. Only 5 more to go, Dotty.
Yes, I'm aware 4, of how counting works, Myrtle.
3, 2... What was that? Did something die?
Sweet Anthony, Eden, Myrtle, come here. Look, it's exactly the 11th hour stroke of luck we were looking for.
What?
Myrtle, colleague, friend, run down to the kitchens and see if you can wash the smell of Mrs. Vermin cake off the utensils. Let's cook.
Hooray!
So that is when I saw the light. God, and I do believe that there is a God, sir, spoke to me.
Well, why, sir?
Fascinating, Mr. Abrahams. England's always had a special relationship with God. Yeah. And in trying times, one reaches out to his special friends.
He spoke to me directly.
Quite. And what with German military expansion, the occupation of France...
Not with language, as you and I know it, but across the sky. Far away, sweeping colours.
Yes, and on the subject of communicating by whatever bloody means necessary, Britain's in rather a
kindly pickle. God spoke.
Oh, still on you, are we?
Abraham, A. Abrahams, he said, understand the world through all its creatures, great and small. From each you shall learn great wisdom.
And that's how you became a huntsman.
Greatest that ever lived.
More wine, Air Marshal.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's interesting you bring up killing, Mr. Abrahams.
Well,
thanks to the Axis, British military power has been reduced to little more than a few shopping baskets and a crude home recording of someone shouting bang. But with America's help, and as you happen to be a close personal friend of the president...
This has an interesting flavour, Peabody.
This is Peabody, by the way, but, the meat? Well, I'd hope so. It's as fresh as the dew.
I thought I'd hunted every animal on earth, Peabody, but this,
It's a Peabody, with an O.
More wine, sir?
Anyway, back to the subject in hand.
Density of a kangaroo, but sinewy like an emu.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
But it has been boiled for an hour at least. Like somebody's been trying to lose its natural pussy bitterness.
That's it. Please, come and
there's
and
a
fight.
Brittle clagginess to it, a moist yet insectoid.
Please, fight the Germans
like cockroach
with us.
Cheese melted and poured over mincemeat.
We're completely arsed, you know.
You lady. Hey, who cooked this?
Well, I did.
Some nights I just cry.
It's unlike anything I've ever tasted before.
Oh, well, that'll be the parsley.
The quiet horror of the human heart beating in permanent isolation.
Kind of frothy, kind of slippery.
Well, I used a little more salt than one normally might.
Beating out its finite song against the unhearing chapel walls of a brutally indifferent universe.
Chewy and binding and syrupy, but with these coarse, short black hairs that... stick in your teeth.
Oh, it's an old English recipe. The hair's a part of the experience.
Desperate to find consolation or meaning, a neighbour in this illimitable universe.
Is it game?
Yes, sort of. Mammalian. Well. Little known, very traditional English animal called the rat de goût.
Rat de goût.
You are our only neighbour, and for the love of all that is neighbourly, Abraham A. Abrahams, Junior the Third, you're our only hope.
Hey, and there's no you in neighbour, Peabody.
There bloody well is the way we spell it, ma'am. And it's Peabody. I like your moxie, Peabody.
You have my word. As soon as I touch down in the U.S. of A., I'll speak to the president on your behalf. But only if I can have some rat de goût to go.
Good God, you didn't like it.
Not one bit. But I respect it. Like all other cultures and creeds, God made animals not to be enjoyed... but to be understood and ultimately destroyed. And if this animal thinks she can avoid that by being unflavorsome, she didn't bank on old Abe, did she?
Huzzah! Thank you, Mr. Abrahams. You will not regret it. And well done, you old thing.
Nonsense, sir.
Before you clock off tonight, make certain you help yourself to a bottle of Moët.
Oh.
And don't be surprised if there's a little medal awaiting you on your desk tomorrow morning. And without Millicent in this one, in today, we can promote you before she returns with all her red tapery and blue-arsed phlyositousness.
Oh, you flatter me, sir.
So long as you get rid of your sitting tenant. Eh? Woman who answered phone?
Oh, that? He, went belly up.
Huzzah!
Oh, it's a shame Mr. Abrahams couldn't make it back to America and have a word with the president before he died from eating all your dead rat.
Yes.
It's a shame because it'd be nice if America helped out around the place a bit. A few more friendly faces at the front, not just rows and rows of crabby Germans and Berettas and what have you staring you down.
Yes.
And you wanted that medal and promotion, didn't you? You and your hopes, eh, Dussie?
He had to go for bloody seconds, didn't he? Trust the one American you'll ever meet to ask for a doggy bag of sewer rat. But I can't see why it ought to have killed him.
Did Peabody have any?
Barely touched it. Spent the evening toading up to Abraham's.
Morning, girls.
Morning, Peggy.
Ah, see, you got rid of the rat there. Well done, team. A small success, but a success nonetheless for the Allies.
Dottie's grumpy because she's not getting a medal.
It's the war effort I'm thinking of. And America's heinous pacifism.
Hmm. Ate the poison, then.
Hmm?
The rat. Finish the poison I laid down.
Once more, but this time very slowly and making certain I don't hear what I think I just did.
You said try anything. You'd think number one on the go-to list of pest control would be poison dart instead of the topsy-turvy way we did it, Myrtle. Cricket bats and head-on brawling. Very silly.
How much poison, Peg? A little bit. Enough for a big rat, say, or... something more.
Oh, enough to bulldoze the King's Own Royal Regiment. Hope you dug a deep enough hole to bury it. The ground will be humming.
Oh, damn you, Peg! I should have killed you when I had the chance!
Wait, when was that?
Well, at least we can release all the other animals. Where are they?
Stationery cupboard.
Good God!
Who would have done such a thing?
Oh, it's like an abattoir.
Can someone fetch a shovel and a bucket and we'll...
Not so fast.
What, Peg?
Maybe we got this wrong. All this time, we were worried about the rat breeding.
Out with it.
Oh, what if... No, it's too horrific to think about.
Don't move, girls.
Hello, personnel and reluctant head cook.
Great Scott, the drums, the horrible, endless drumming. Good grief. Where am I? Oh, my...
Another nightmare, sir?
Well, woman answering phone in part, that's the purpose of my telephoning.
Sir?
Can you certify that I'm awake?
We're engaged in conversation, sir, but without a doctor present.
Well, judging by what's in my office, I very much hope I'm having a nightmare.
How do you mean, sir?
I thought you told me you disposed of your vermin problem.
We did, sir.
Well, then, I'd very much like you to stroll up to my office and explain why there's something twice its size presently gnawing on bits of lamb and kitten while flicking through my copy of Biggles.
Good Lord!
The rat you poisoned! It has a mother!
So that's what killed poor Lammy Fluffninkle and Kitteny Bob!
And while I have you, woman who answers phone and currently whispers exposition to another, perhaps you can also explain why I've received a telegram inquiring as to the last movements of our friend Abraham A. Abrahams...
Gosh!
...before his death.
Oh!
...by suspected poisoning.
Ah!
My office, PDQ. You promised me a woman-on-monster gladiatorial grudge match, and by Jove, I think we'll get one.
Yes, sir.
Peg, old girl...
Yes, old thing?
You don't still have that decoy rat costume, do you?
I could probably find something.
Another chance has materialized.
For me to dress up and distract the rat, or you to kill me?
I'll tell you what, Peggy, I'm not going to labour the details of this one, but pop down to Peabody's office and let's but allow nature to take its course.
Oh, thank you, Dot.
No, thank you, Peg.
In Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Fenella Woolgar, Myrtle by Kate O'Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, Air Marshal Peabody by David Acton, Abraham A. Abrahams Jr. III by Nicholas Murchie, and Uncle Ken by John Dougal. Officer background, as himself. The director was Jessica Mittich.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like...